This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Cashman. I'm joined by Phil Rogers, and we're discussing a Royals team that really has the potential to be the best story in baseball in the second half, much like the Pirates a year ago, simply because they're trying to kill some ghosts, trying to reach the playoffs for the first time since 1985. And Phil, they've got a legitimate chance to do it.
They absolutely do. I mean, we saw this as a team that just when you want to write them off and say, you know, same old tease, you know, they'll run off a long streak. It's been a little bit streaky, but, you know, you see that 13-2 run they had in early June shows you the potential, and, you know, they have the pitchers that get your attention. You know, what they've gotten from Yordani Ventura, certainly adding to the stability from, you know, James Shields, what he brought when he joined them 2 years ago in the trade. And now just waiting for everything to click at one time with that lineup. And, you know, you look at all the parts individually, no reason why they couldn't in the second half. They did have a big second half last year. But let's bring in Dick Cagle, MLB.com beat writer with the Royals. And thanks for doing this with us, DK. And looking at the Royals going forward in the second half, is there one player or more likely one area where you think things could really kind of turn around to cause them to cut down that gap with the Tigers or become a strong wild card contender?
Yeah, there sure is, Phil and Anthony. They've got to boost the offense quite a bit. It's kind of been on and off most of the season. And but, you know, it's really remarkable that they've been able to hang as close as they have to the Tigers, because they haven't had all their offensive pieces working. For the best example would be Billy Butler and Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas. None of those three guys, who are really great potential offensive weapons, have really come alive to this point. And it's really kind of remarkable that they've been able to stay this close with those guys not percolating on all cylinders yet. The rest of the team has been pretty good. I mean, Alex Gordon has been kind of on and off, but guys like Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar, certainly Salvador Perez, Omar Infante, when he's been healthy, has been pretty solid. You know, their outfield, Aoki has been in and out of the lineup because of injuries, but, you know, they've been perking along.
DK, I got to harp on Hosmer a little bit, just because, you know, so much is expected of this guy. And by this point, he's got over 2,000 at bats in the big leagues, just hasn't taken those expected steps forward, you know, from a power perspective, from an on base perspective. Do they keep riding him towards the top of the order? Do you see him making adjustments? Do you see him, you know, maybe taking off a bit in the second half?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he did that last year. He really took off in the second half, and he's working hard at it. He's making adjustments. I think his swing's gotten a little big from time to time, but the kid really has a lot of great potential, as he showed last couple of years. So I think Eric's going to be fine. They're going to stick with him right up there at the top of the order, I think. But he'll come along. He's a good hitter.
Dick, it hadn't been that long since the Royals hosted the All-Star game. Everybody saw the refigured, renovated Kauffman Stadium in 2012. And, you know, I wonder if there seems to be this, I don't know if it's a mental block, or, you know, you're starting to hear things about the dimensions at Kauffman Stadium. You know, like you've heard in San Diego, can't hit home runs there. You know, the Royals seem to have been, you know, do have an issue with a power deficit. And Billy Butler's first half, you know, really stunning if you think back to the presence he had at that 2012 All-Star game. And the way he seemed to be the reliable run producer. But taking a step back from the players, is the stadium in the Royals' head at all? I mean, I know it seems like it's rare for them to hit more than one home run in a game at Kauffman Stadium, and probably a lot more games than not can't get the ball out of the park.
Well, it probably is a drawback for a guy like Billy Butler, who seems to hit a lot of balls to the warning track. But I think overall, as a team, I think they've adjusted nicely to Kauffman Stadium's big dimensions. I think the square footage, I believe, is either first or second largest in the major leagues. But I think their thinking is, look, we got to get a lot of gap hits. We got to use our speed, take the extra base, steal a base, make things happen, play some little ball once in a while. And I think they've adjusted pretty well to that. I don't think that the stadium has been a big mental block to them at all.
DK, every executive you talk to around now is pretty confident there's not going to be a lot of bats out there in the trade market. Just kind of the age we live in, where every team is hungry for that and searching for that and struggling a bit offensively some area or areas. But there could be a few targets out there, either guys like Marlon Byrd or maybe even in the division if they could target a guy like Adam Dunn or Kendry Morales. You just wonder if the Royals might have a move in them here to address that offense in some meaningful way before the deadline. What's your gut tell you about that? Do you expect anything to happen between now and July 31st?
Well, certainly they're out there looking, but do I expect something to happen? No, I don't. I think they pretty much got what they've got. I think basically, they've got a good, solid offensive lineup. They certainly got the pitching. I haven't mentioned the starting pitching, but my gosh, that's been really solid throughout the season. They've got a great back end of a bullpen, and the defense is probably as good as you're going to get in the major league. More offense, yes, they could use it, but how they're going to get it and who would they have to give up to get it are big questions.
Talking about that pitching, do you see a kid like Yordani Ventura being able to build off of what he learned in the first half, or is it the full major league season, six-month season, 162 games, going through that for the first time? How much is that going to test this kid who's been a big part of their first half?
I think he's going to adjust nicely to it because this kid is learning fast. I mean, he knows now that he can't get by trying to throw every pitch 102 miles an hour. He's adjusted very well. He's learned quickly how to change speeds, how to hit his spots, and still, when he needs it, rear back and throw that 100 mile an hour fastball. But this kid is really learning fast, and I think he's adjusting nicely. And I think he's really going to be good going down the stretch. I don't think that's going to bother him at all. I think he's just going to get better and better.
And the other guy, DK, I mean, and the rotation has that veteran element with James Shields and Jason Vargas, and Vargas has been really strong for them after coming over in free agency. But the other younger guy who's really given them a big lift is Danny Duffy. He had his struggles in spring training and didn't make the rotation out of spring training, but boy, since he's come aboard, what kind of adjustments have you seen from him?
Well, Danny's kind of like Ventura, and in fact, Danny's probably a little ahead of Ventura as far as making adjustments. Danny is a very intense kid. He was the kind of guy that let every bad pitch really eat at him while he was on the mound. But he's learned, I think, through talking with James Shields and other veterans on the staff, that, okay, it's great to be intense, it's great to let off a little steam, but then you got to focus. You got to focus on your next pitch, your next inning, and not let things get to you. Adjust as the game gets along. Relax. Make your pitches. Go pitch by pitch. And he's learned that. He's really learned that. He knows he's learning it. He's adjusted very well. And I think Danny's maturity is really kind of exploded in the last few games. And he's really going to have a good second half also, I believe.
You mentioned the fielding, and as a guy in the middle of it, Alcides Escobar, to me, hadn't he become one of the better two-way shortstops in the game? It seems like the attention he receives is a little bit behind the contribution that he delivers kind of day in and day out. This guy's a really good player, isn't he?
Escobar, in my opinion, is the best shortstop around. I mean, if you watch him day after day, the plays he makes in the hole and his knack of gliding up the middle, getting a ball behind second base, turning completely around and throwing the guy out is just amazing to see. And he'll dash into the outfield and make a great catch. The kid is all over the place. He's durable. He plays every game. And look at this. He's been hitting. He's hitting probably close to 300 consistently now after having an off year last year. I mean, the guy, and he steals bases and hardly ever gets caught. I mean, this kid is really a great shortstop, a great all-around player who's really been overlooked, I feel. And I think he should have been on the All-Star team.
Well, maybe if the Royals could put it together in the second half and they can push for the playoffs, he'll be right leading the charge, and we'll all have to step up and take notice. Be a fun story to watch. And for now, Dick, thanks very much for joining us on MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. This is Phil Rogers and Anthony Kastrovitz saying thanks for listening to us.